Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
Swing and a miss. Strike three and the Cubs win the ball game.
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Illinois Bone and Joint Institute.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
Yeah, it's exciting. Having guys that, you know, have had success in the game, been around, have done a lot of impressive things, bring accolades, like all that stuff is super exciting.
Gold Glove Award winner.
On the run, Ian Happ dives, makes a sensational catch.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
The ratings WBC have been fantastic, right? I just talked to Stro, so I went in for a minute today and Stro was in there. He just came back and was putting his locker together, working out. And I was talking to him about it, and he was like, dude, it's like he was there at that Joey Bautista game where he bat flipped in Toronto. You know, he was like, probably, it's probably as loud. He's like, it's the atmosphere is crazy.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has 5 fresh pots a day. He's got an insatiable thirst for coffee.
Ian Happ with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Okay, now it's baseball season. We've had all these marking points and all these little bits of data that make us feel ready for baseball. This should do it for you, too. Ian Happ is on Twitter at IHAP_1. And the Cubs Gold Glove winning all-star outfielder joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. How goes it, Ian?
How you doing? It's good to be back.
Good.
It's good to be back with you, too. I wrote a column for the Sun-Times a couple weeks ago about how routine and normal and boring this spring training feels. And I mean that in the best possible way. And I got to thinking, like, and I guess it kind of connects to the Compound Podcast of what players have been through the last 3 years. Does this spring training feel more normal to you? And what do you remember specifically about, like, how crazy were 3 years ago at this time?
Yeah, I mean, I think it probably feels a little long to everybody just because of what the difference has been. You know, in the past years, I'm trying to get ready so quick, you know, for a number of different reasons or all the things that have gone on. But, you know, to be able to have a full spring training to really – you know, take our time, get really good individual work in, like all of those things. It was very nice. It was very, very nice. But if you look back, you know, just since I've been in the big leagues, all of the, you know, there's so many things that have happened, you know, that, and, you know, the baseballs in 17 and 19 and the different one in 18. And then you're talking about the pandemic year and doing that. And then the, what 21 was with playing a full schedule, but all of the, you know, restrictions and getting back to play. And then you have the lockout and the shortened spring. And now rules changes, you know, there's been so many things, you know, it's been 7 years and that's, it's a lot of different, circumstances, but to actually have, like you said, a normal spring training was very nice.
A season ago at this time, you were detailing your defensive work and how much you examined what the metrics were measuring and what you could control in that regard. What was your focus this offseason?
Good question. Yeah, a lot of the same. You know, I think trying to do a lot of the things that I did well last year and carry those over. Defensively, a lot of that work goes into, you know, just making sure the body's healthy, making sure you're in the right spots, and continuing to do all the things that help you keep your feet under you in the outfield. You know, arm stuff. I had elbow surgery last offseason heading into the year, so there was a lot more time for me to work on elbow shoulder stability and actually like build that strength back that I wasn't able to do last offseason. So that was a really exciting part of the year for me. And then a lot of kind of rotational bat speed stuff that was kind of a new thing that I wanted to try and get into and experiment with. And so those are kind of my focuses. And I think there's always stuff that you do throughout an offseason to continue to help yourself improve as a big leaguer. But those were the main ones.
What do you mean by rotational bat speed?
I think it's been pretty well published that that Arenado did some bat speed stuff last offseason, Lars Nootbaar as well. And so, some of that research about underload, overload training on bat speed is really interesting because, we swing the same bat all the time and pitchers are doing it with weighted balls, underload and overload. And so there's some research behind if you're swinging heavier bats and lighter bats and training your body to swing faster, then you will naturally swing your own bat faster. And so there's some interesting stuff I did this off season. So that's not only just swinging bats, but you also have to do med ball work and you have to do a bunch of rotational stuff to make sure that your body and your obliques can handle the stress and the load that you're going to put on it. So that was an interesting one this off season. And then, to be back in spring and get to measure, we have this system that measures your bat speed in game, all the cameras around the stadium. So to get to actually see some real material change there and say, oh, I am swinging a couple miles an hour faster. That is pretty interesting. And what it feels like when you make a high effort swing and the bat speed shows up, or when you're kind of, okay, that was a more defensive swing of two strikes, and that's where the bat speed was. And to be able to measure that stuff and have it match up with the eye test is pretty interesting.
I was making fun of it when I saw that first story out of Driveline with some of that stuff. I'm like, wait a second, this is the oldest thing in the book. Like this seriously goes back to like the turn of the previous century of a guy in the on deck circle swinging two bats, or even like when years ago when I used to play, they'd say put the donut on the bat, and then right before you go up, swing a wiffle bat or a broomstick, because that gets the fast twitch muscles going. This is just the newest way of interpreting long-held awareness of some of that.
Yeah, but it's, putting structure to it and, really doing it at a high effort. So, when I was a kid, too, you put the donut on the bat, swing it a few times, whatever. But we're talking about going in the cage with some serious intent and letting it eat for, 5 to 10 swings and really – trying to max out on effort. It's like long toss, or guys trying to throw as hard as they can at some point. But doing it within the parameters of making good contact and a good swing and all that stuff. So, it's pretty interesting just, especially when you're using some of the metrics to actually measure it as you're practicing to see, how that all looks. And sometimes it's not always the one that you try to swing the hardest that creates the most velocity with the bat. So all that stuff is pretty fascinating.
Ian, when it comes to run prevention, this front office has been very clear that that's one of the things that they did on how they built the team. Clearly, you're a Gold Glove defender. I just want to know, how do they talk to you guys about the concept of run prevention and it being a organizational strategy?
Yeah, I think it's more about the players that you put on the field, right? Like if you were to roll 8 guys out there behind the pitcher and none of them were good at defenders, you're not going to prevent very many runs. But they've brought in guys that are, have had long careers or inherently are good defenders, and that's half the battle. But then, from the infielders talk about it differently from a positioning standpoint, what they want to do, especially with the new rules and how they're going to put themselves in positions to prevent runs. I think for us as an outfield, I can speak to that more than I can speak to the infielders, is we're trying to move as a group. We're trying to be really disciplined in going through figuring out the positioning for the series for all the hitters on the other team based on pitch matchups, you know, where they're most likely to hit the ball, and then how that changes as we get deeper into counts or deeper into game situations. And so our biggest focus as an outfield, you know, with the great athletes that we have, is just putting guys in the right spot to make the most plays possible. And I think that was something that we did last year, you know, and it was effective, but it's doing it again and making sure that we're on top of that on a series by series basis.
Do you think that you've had enough reps that you feel comfortable on how Dansby's going to play with the shift rules, and do you think that you've had enough reps with the as a hitter dealing with the pitch clock and the rules there?
I mean, definitely with the pitch clock, I think. And Major League Baseball did a good job of making it really, really fast and uncomfortable in the first few weeks of spring, and then kind of dialing it back to where the clock it's a natural pace now. It's a natural pace of when the clock is starting, if there's a foul ball, if there's a brush back, if there's they've done some things to make sure that the clock is naturally starting at a good pace instead of forcing guys to be rushed. And I think we'll continue to see, you know, some adjustments as we get into everyday Major League Baseball with a game that really matters. I think there'll be some things that need tweaked as we go. But I feel comfortable with the pitch clock. I think that the pace has been really great in spring training, and that's been a positive. Dansby and I have talked a lot, and I'm saying, like, reps, you just can't put into play, like, hey, left-handed hitter in spring training, I would like you to hit a blooper so Dansby and I can communicate here and not run into each other. Like, you just don't get to pick and choose when you get those reps. So we've had a lot of conversations, I'll say that, you know, talking about, hey, you know, are you comfortable going back on this ball? If the ball's hit here, you know, how do you feel about that? What would you like me to say coming in? You know, how can we communicate on wind and no doubles and these game situations? So we've talked a lot about that. And the simulations, you know, you don't always get to choose how many of those you get, but the conversations have been great.
One of the storylines this season that is intriguing is Wilson Contreras, the proud Cardinal. And I'm sure his absence, at least early in camp, was notable and noticeable because of his personality and because of his the time that he spent. But he is really embracing his new role. I'm not saying it's a full wrestling heel turn, but some of those comments, I'm glad I'm in a place where I'm wanted. With everything that's going on between these teams, I think for fans it's going to be fun. What's going on behind the scenes?
Yeah, I talked to Wilson a little bit. He definitely is enjoying his time over there. And, you know, it's having a guy who's been in the organization for as long as he was and, you know, being around, it's definitely a little different to come into camp and not have him. I mean, we played together for six seasons. So, and when you lose somebody like that, it definitely is a little different. But, you know, he's very happy, which is great. I'm happy for him and his family. And I actually, you know, obviously didn't get to see him, Wilson, during spring training, but I got to see his little brother, William, because he's with the Brewers. So it was, and, you know, I'd been with William in Atlanta in the middle of the summer when they were TLC All-Star game and how cool that was. And so to say hello to William and see him getting, you know, acclimated to his new gigs was great.
What did you think of the WBC as a viewer, and what have players that have come back told you about the WBC?
I mean, as a viewer, I thought that it was awesome to see the passion, not only that the players played with, because players, you know, guys play with passion throughout the year, right? Guys play with passion. Maybe it's not exactly the same in a regular season game, but guys play with passion, and then you watch the Dominican Winter Leagues or all the, you know, Winter Leagues that are, you get these clips in the offseason of these passionate games. Then you get to see WBC, and you get to see these guys really play, representing their country and what that means. But I thought the fans in different parts of the world, in different stadiums, and to get to see how involved and excited fans were to watch international baseball, you know, whether those were the games in Tokyo or Miami or Phoenix, was really, really cool. This is a global sport, and there's an appetite for it. You know, when you see how many TVs are turned on in Japan and in Puerto Rico and all over the world, there is a real appetite for this sport, and that really bodes well for the future of the game. And I think that it's a lesson to all of us that we need to continue to take the game abroad and, you know, play in some of these places and take the game to the fans that want to see it.
Did the fact that Nico got his extension done mean anything for you, or is that completely independent?
It means that I'm a very happy friend and you know, very proud of him, and couldn't be more excited for, you know, what that, you know, will do for him and his family, and you know, he's very happy about it, which I think is incredible. But no, they're two very separate things, and I am thrilled that he's going to be here for the next 3 years.
How do you feel about negotiating once the season starts, or is that a non-starter for you?
I just try not to put any, you know, any hard deadlines or parameters on it. You know,
okay.
I'm here to play baseball and help this team win every day, and that's where my focus is.
Before we get to everything that's going on with Connect, we need a debriefing on your golf. I want to know the best round, the worst round, the highlights, what were the shots of the golf season and the experience you had. I think you and Joel Damon might have gotten back together again at one point. So take us through the Ian Happ golf season.
You know, I had some great rounds, got to play in some cool places. I went out and did a deal at Ohoopee with Grayson. That was a really, really awesome event. I think highlight of the golf off season for me, I knew personal low in Austin in Spanish Oaks. That was a big deal. A couple under par was a very nice round for me this off season. And then, you know, the low for me was I actually got out to spring training and was just not swinging it very well. Was kind of hitting it all over the place when I got out to Arizona, which was not great for desert golf. But finally dialed it in the last couple of times. I actually just played with Smiley and Barnhart. We got out right before we left a couple of days ago on our last off day, and I played pretty well. So I think the golf game's in good shape. We got some nice off days for golf in the first couple of months. So pretty excited about that.
Barnhart's awesome. I heard him interviewed a couple times. He just seems like a really interesting and thoughtful guy.
Big fan of Tucker Barnhart. He's awesome. A lot of shared interests, wine, watches, golf. He's a 3 handicap, so we're going to be playing a lot of golf this year when we can. I'm way into Tucker Barnhart, so I would think the Cubs fans will very much enjoy him. And I think the Cubs fans are going to enjoy this team. I think that there's, you know, personalities, there's guys that have been around, and I do think like this group is going to mesh really well together. And I think that the fans are going to see that pretty quickly as we get going here. So I'm just excited to see, you know, one of the things as a guy that's been here is like when you get new players that have played somewhere else and then they get to experience like Wrigley on a day game where it's just the weather gets nice and it's packed and the experience of that, like, I'm so excited to start to see some of these guys embrace that and be a part of it. And I think the fans are going to love it.
What's up with Caleb and Connect?
We got a lot going on. Caleb's going to be around tomorrow. We're getting the front office set up to make sure that they're caffeinated. You know, we're across the street at Hotel Zachary now. And then we, you know, announced about a week ago that we're going to be doing our first brick and mortar coffee shop down in Burbank. And we're going to be doing coffee classes and all kinds of stuff down there. We're hoping for this summer to get everything opened up there. And we are thrilled to have, you know, a place to call home and somewhere that we can show more people around the area kind of what we're doing and how we're making the coffee. So thrilled about that.
Cool stuff. Ian, great catching up. Look forward to doing this again. And here is to another healthy and successful season for you.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
That's Ian Happ. And when we talk Cubs spring training on The Score, it's brought to you by Sloan, the official water efficiency partner of the Chicago Cubs, and a reminder that BetMGM and The Score are teaming up to celebrate opening day at Slugger's Sports Bar. That's 3545 North Clark Street in Wrigleyville. Thursday, pregame party leading up to first pitch. We're broadcasting live this show, Bernstein and Holmes, 10 to 1245. That's followed by the Cubs pregame show with Zach Zabin up until 1:20. So come by, say hi, grab some swag, and see how you can take your game to the next level this baseball season with the king of sportsbooks.
I'm going to bring my bat.
Isn't that kind of a duster move to bring your own bat to the cages?
It's already in the car.
I know, but aren't you supposed to use whatever crappy heavy bats lie in there with all the ball marks on it?
No. Yeah, okay. Why should I go in there and mess up my swing?
That's like, I don't know. I think that's kind of
the season's getting ready to start, Dan. Like, I gotta start getting ready.
You don't want to be that kid in high school that like brings his own hockey stick to floor hockey, you know, like that kind of thing.
No.
Okay.
I was never that kid.
All right.
So I'll be that kid this week.
And you do the tennis unit, and instead of using the crappy rackets they hand out, you bring your special.
You're crazy to not bring your own tennis racket to.
I actually did. Actually,
yeah, like, yeah. What are you doing? Why would you play with an inferior piece of equipment?
I actually did. Of course I was that guy, without question.
100%. You're still that guy.
But I would think at HF, you probably all have, like, brand new, every year, they get brand new perfect. Right? There's somebody there restringing to order.
Yeah, but you got to understand that while I went to a very affluent high school, my parents are school teachers.
Yeah, but still, the high school's providing all this stuff. It's the property taxes.
Yes, it is, which is why after I graduated, they left.
We're just leaving.
We're leaving. So long, suckers. We're off to Clown College.
More Cubs when we come back. The Cubs pitching coach was on The Score earlier talking about a very exciting prospect who may be in the early conversations for potentially Rookie of the Year. Yeah, I said it.
I think you should say it. Come and try to hit that sweeper. Good luck with all of that. You. I'm looking forward to seeing the growth of Hayden Wisniewski, and you'll hear what Tommy Hotovy had to say about him next here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I didn't say a whole lot. I when David Ross talks, you listen. It's I didn't talk a whole lot. I just soaked it in. And my parents were in town, so it was nice to tell them. But I wish I had something better for you, but I just didn't talk a whole lot. I was speechless.
Hayden Wisniewski wouldn't understand if I made an E.F. Hutton reference to his comments because he's too young, but he was on Marquee talking about getting the news that he was going to be part of the Cubs starting rotation, and how could he not? If you've watched anything he's done and watched the number of swords that he's getting, like he's one of these arguments for swords being a stat. And if you do follow Codify, Pitching Ninja, and you understand what a sword is, an in-between defensive swing or swing while falling down as if the hitter isn't swinging a bat but is fighting uncomfortably with a sword.
And his slider sweeper induces that type of swing.
Or the other slider. He's got two.
Yeah, slider sweeper. Slider sweeper.
Well, he's got the I see. You're referring to the sweeper as the sweeper and the slider as the drop one. Okay.
Yeah.
Sweeper, slider.
Slider. Slider. Sleeper. Sweeper.
Well, the sleeper.
Sleeper. Well, that's another one. That's would be the third pitch.
Well, that's like the cutter slider that they call the slutter.
Yes. Careful how you say it.
I'm just saying.
But yes, you see him and you go, man, he's got the stuff to play and the movement and the funky movement that he's got going on with this thing is really awesome. Like I'm finishing up my column for the Sun-Times and it'll be out tomorrow where I kind of preview both teams. And he's my player to watch on the Cubs. Like he's the guy that I am looking forward to watching his starts, watching his progress. And you saw it at the major league level at the end of the season, but it's always hard when you're talking about a team that's not in the race and end of the season success the way that the Cubs had it last year, what's real and what's imagined in there. And you're watching him pitch and you go, ooh, that is. And then he clearly has done the work in this offseason to follow it up and walked in with a mentality of I'm trying to win a job. Like that makes me even more of a fan that even with what was on tape last year, that he at least seemingly came into camp trying to blow some people away and not just kind of rest on what he was able to do in the season last year.
And that was the point we were making watching it, is say, well, will he be the fifth starter? That doesn't look like a fifth starter.
Correct.
It really doesn't.
That looks like at least mid-rotation stuff. And if he's put it all together, then you may have found something really, really good inside of that trade, which would totally made it worth it. And now he's got an opportunity to show and prove. So Tommy Hotovy was on this morning. He was on the Mully and Haw show, which today was Haw and Grody
Bears
hanging out bars. They were hanging out today and doing their thing. Here's what Tommy Hotovy said about Hayden Wisniewski.
Well, I think you saw a guy who took everything that he did last year, everything that he learned in a short, you know, five-start stint in the big leagues, take that in the offseason and absolutely just devote his focus to getting better and honing in what he does. We all knew when we got Hayden what we thought we had, you know, a guy who can command the baseball, has some really nasty stuff, but just has a willingness and desire to get better. And when you see a guy like that come into spring training with something to prove and very businesslike, very to the point with what he's trying to accomplish, and then just goes out there and does it. You know, I think he has the ability to get really, really good hitters out at a high clip. And when you have the ability to do that, you know, and show that in spring, we're obviously excited about where he's headed, where his development's going, and really looking forward to see what he can do in a longer stint. We only got to see five starts last year, but he's continued to grow from that point.
I want to look at it through this prism as well. And when you think about what organizations do over time, when I talk about getting closer to winning a championship and how we can look at context here. Hayden Wisniewski is here.
because the Yankees have developed pitching. They've drafted and they've developed and they've found guys with stuff. He was traded straight up for Scott Efros because the Yankees were competing and the Yankees needed a reliable bullpen arm. Scott Efros, he's 29. Okay? Scott Efros was kind of languishing in the Cubs system until
they figured some stuff out.
Until they got him on the machines, they looked at his pitches, and they said, you know, why don't you try a different arm angle? Why don't we make you a sidewinder? And he said, okay.
I'll try it.
I'm happy to try it. And he embraced it, and he worked at it, and he became a reliable, effective major league reliever. He's out now recovering from Tommy John surgery, but he was enough to merit that trade. So think about what the Cubs did with a 15th round pick. The Cubs took a 15th round pick later in his career and flipped him at age 29 for a 25-year-old starter who is showing that he at least has the tools to be special. That's organization building.
It's organizational strength and incredible pitching infrastructure.
That's what it is. This is the rubber meeting the road of what all the fancy words mean. About creating something out of nothing, building an asset, building value in an asset, and then moving it for something that can then be even more valuable that times up with where you're going
to
be.
Right. Showcasing that that player has grown to a level of being desired by another team, then taking that player and turning it into a more valuable position, starting pitcher against reliever.
Yep.
Even though Efros had kind of shown himself to be a pretty good high leverage reliever, you end up getting a guy who looks like he's got top of the rotation stuff. And he breaks with the team. The next opportunity for him to break with the team, he breaks with the team. That says to me that you're doing things in a way where other teams will want to trade with you, but they'll also be a little bit more careful with trading with you. But they know that they're getting value back. And taking it a player who you might have even considered DFAing, because they were languishing. And you just changed that player's career trajectory. And maybe in a small way, your winning timeline, because you were able to make a shrewd deal to add at a position of need for your organization. And it also shows like the difference that the Cubs are where they're at when it comes to developing pitching. And it's not someone that they drafted, but it is someone that they pinpointed. And then now they bring in this person and say, okay, we've got a really solid pitching infrastructure organizationally, not just at the major league level, because then you go, look at what it could turn into. Look at what it could end up being. I love that. I love that for Efros, because he was in a position last year to maybe win a World Series. And he had pitched well enough where everyone was like, man, that dude is kind of nasty.
Talking about swords. He got a swinging strike on a pitch that hit a guy. Like,
yeah.
It hit him in the chest. I think I still swung at it because the late movement on that sinker was so insane.
You're damn right. So it ends up being a win for him. It's a win for Wisniewski. It's a win for the Cubs pitching infrastructure and organizational strength.
There are new rules for the new rules here.
Wait,
that I guess we should
hold
have.
Hold on, Dan, I'm confused. We got new rules, and now there's new rules for the new rules?
Well, we should have anticipated this. Because of the new pitch clock, they're changing the timing for challenges from the dugout.
Oh, no.
So there's like three bullet points that we need to go through here that Jason Stark reported in The Athletic. And I thought, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. So now we all have to speed up our clock on some of this. And some of the people who had a little bit of time to watch a replay don't have as much time.
Talk about organizational infrastructure.
Instinct and communication is going to matter. So we'll explain next on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, this is a really well-paced game. It's like Mark Burley stitching for both teams. That would be just a success.
Theo Epstein, the architect of these rules changes, on with Mully and Haw, talking about what the effect should be. And so far, so good. But
are we going to talk with Mark Burley's battery mate? Did I hear that?
Yeah. Tomorrow, right? AJ Przinski is going to join us tomorrow.
Oh, good. Am I allowed to ask him wrestling questions?
I guess. I'll just lay out.
Okay.
I can't really do that. So Jason Stark reported that because everything is sped up, the replay rules are different. So here's what's new. Managers now need to hold up their hands immediately after a play to signal to the umpires that they're thinking about challenging.
So they give them the universal hold up.
Yeah, maybe. The previous rule gave them 10 seconds before they had to decide whether to give that signal. So now when in doubt, obviously, you can
do the wave.
Yeah, right? Secondly, before the pitch clock, managers theoretically had 20 seconds after the ump saw their hand signal to decide whether to challenge, which means while the replay guys are watching the play and then buzzing the dugout with a yes or a no. And by the way, these are sort of abstracted here, the Jason Stark stuff, by Craig Calcaterra in his Cup of Coffee newsletter. Craig, we just found out, is going to be a regular part of our baseball rotation.
Hooray!
So we're very happy about that. So while they're deciding whether to challenge, they had 20 seconds. But in practice, the 20-second rule was almost never enforced, with umps casually sauntering toward the dugout to finally ask the manager if he was going to challenge the call well after 20 seconds was up. Now umpires will not saunter. They will remain on the field, counting the seconds. And if the manager doesn't say he's challenging, play goes on, and there are 5 fewer seconds. Once the manager's hand goes up,
then they stay there.
The umpire starts a 15-second replay clock. If the manager wants to challenge, he has to decide before the clock hits zero. MLB has told all 30 managers the allotted time will be strictly enforced. So Stark noted that managers are concerned that their team's replay specialists won't have time to find the perfect camera angle anymore. Big mistakes won't get challenged. Games will be decided by missed calls again after replay reviews had mostly solved that problem. And what Calcaterra says, you know what? I'm fine with managers not waiting around for the replay specialist to find the perfect camera angle, because if a call isn't an obvious botch, which is apparent within 15 seconds, it usually means that umps are looking at ticky-tack crap like a base runner losing contact with a bag for half a millisecond, and those are horse crap overturns.
Okay, but here's the thing. You know how we were talking about organizational strength and infrastructure in the last segment? You better have a staff and a manager that's on top of this.
Could you imagine if you thought Tony La Russa was exposed in the last 2 years? Could you even begin to imagine the clown show that he and all of that would be under this?
I mean, he who will not be named. I'm trying to do a better job of us not talking about Tony La Russa.
Yeah, but think about like the fact that now at least you've got a manager who's paying attention.
Yes, it would be an exercise in futility with him doing some of this stuff and needing to be on top of it and sharp and watching and paying attention and having a staff that is able to get his attention and explain very quickly what the rules might be and why they're going to challenge it, and then him be able to express that to the umpires. Yes, I can imagine it, Dan, and I imagine it going very badly.
There's a lot of pressure on that replay person.
You know how we were talking about with Leisure, the NASCAR pits are looking for athletes to be in mm-hmm. their pits, like college athletes to be in their pits.
Or the little forklift guy from Cars. What's his name?
I don't know.
Guido. I think it's Guido, right?
Sure.
The little forklift, the little awesome forklift guy.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know his name.
He wins the day, and then the other guy's bumper falls off because they couldn't believe how fast he was.
I think that if you're a major league franchise, maybe you start looking at guys that are doing this in college in the NFL for the quick decision on whether or not. But you probably already have a fairly good built-in infrastructure for replays. But it's something to keep in mind.
So we know that they're going to be policing the ball people.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that if they're not up to speed and getting equipment off the field, on the field, balls to umpires, and et cetera.
And not the bat kid, right?
Not the like celebrity won the auction kid. The actual person who does that as a job.
Yes.
That they're going to make sure that it's up to speed, literally getting things where they need to go. But yeah, I mean, there may be people who are just good at identifying things on replay that they could just tell.
The next time that we get an opportunity to talk with Carter Hawkins or with Jed Hoyer, we should talk to them about how many jobs have been added to baseball ops. Like what a baseball op office looks like now versus when they started in the industry. Like how much growth is actually happen, because you know that there are the people that are going through all the program, like the managerial programs like Amherst and, you know, BU and all these other places that are offering it. But just like how a baseball operation now runs comparatively to what it was before, where it was like, oh, you know, this guy, he's kind of been around here for a while.
Good baseball man. What does he do? Well, he sits over there and farts all day.
He's
we're not paying him too much.
Baseball face. Yeah. That's why we keep him around. Like how do you make it work now, and how much money has to be poured into actual personnel, the people inside the office to make the engine go?
Yeah, who do things at a level that it has to be so specific now.
Yeah, because in a lot of other industries, like ours included, like the personnel aspect is shrinking. I feel like that might be a growth industry, although cottage, where we are seeing more people get hired and added to the mix because of the abundance of revenue.
815 says, well, who's now the oldest MLB manager? And is his job in jeopardy because of the new rules?
It's Tito, right?
It's Bochy, right?
Oh, that's right. Bochy's back. Bochy's
back. Going to be trouble.
Back again.
And how old is Snitker?
I don't think
Snitker. Wait, Dusty. Dusty.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it is Dusty.
Dusty's the oldest at 73.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a machine.
Yeah, right.
Down there.
Astor's machine.
And there.
Oh, and speaking of umps, who was that idiot behind JT Realmuto yesterday? Did you see this?
I did. It was very disappointing.
What's going on?
And you know what's crazy?
What's up with that?
You know what's crazy about it? So for those who didn't, do we have it, Studs?
I think we do.
All right, let's play it.
So this is the reaction that the broadcast had to him getting tossed.
All right, wait. Then let me explain what goes on here for people who didn't see it. JT Realmuto, after a ball is out of play, reaches his glove back for the ball. You see catchers do this all of the time. They're waiting. He doesn't get the ball, so he drops his glove as the umpire was getting ready to put the ball into his mitt. The ball hits the ground. The umpire lost his mind and threw Realmuto from the game. Now, it's important to note that the play previous, the umpire threw the ball back to the pitcher.
So he thought, oh, wait, that's right. Maybe he's not going to hand me the ball. He's throwing it back directly, so no worries.
Correct.
And this- another note on this, Kimbrel's eyes were on the ump as Realmuto was doing this. I watched the John Boy breakdown on this. They're like, Kimbrel's eyes are on the ump. Realmuto's watching Kimbrel, and he sees, oh, he's watching the ump.
Hit it.
Kimbrel says, I don't like that call. Now, here's the action right here. And the umpire felt like Realmuto took his glove out of the way. And I think Realmuto didn't sense that the ball was on its way, so he just figured the umpire was throwing it back to the mound.
Now, on the prior exchange, the umpire threw it out to Kimbrel. So, all right, you don't feel the ball get nestled into your glove. So he wasn't even looking back at the umpire. He just pulled his glove down.
Are you throwing a guy out of the game?
That's another thing we could talk to AJ about, because AJ was good about getting his glove up there quick to get the ball back from the umpire.
Just wasn't good about getting it to his throwing hand.
All right, stop. Stop it. We'd like to talk with AJ tomorrow. That was the thing that I love. He's my third favorite White Sox catcher. And I'm just like, the exchange. Part of it, I think, is that he knew that he wasn't going to throw the guy out. Like, there's part of it that I was like, oh, I dropped the ball again.
Oh, jeez. I would have thrown him out. I totally would have thrown him out. I just dropped the ball again.
Yeah. So I got Carlton Fisk, Jack Parkman, and then AJ.
Jack Parkman isn't real.
Jack Parkman brought a World Series to the South Side, sir. How dare you?
But you can't count someone who isn't real. Why isn't Jake Tolbert, or not Jake, Jake Taylor on there?
Because Jake Taylor didn't catch for the White Sox.
It doesn't have to. Well, but it'd still be a favorite fictional catcher.
No, I said White Sox catchers of all time. Carlton Fisk, Jack Parkman, AJ Pierzynski.
No Karko?
He's...
Really?
Yeah. Office of Karkovice.
As long as you don't look at him.
Or Charles Johnson's for it. I know.
Mark Johnson.
No.
Matt Marullo.
But yeah, man, Jack Parkman. Damn right. Brought a World Series to the South Side.
No. No. Not allowing it.
Are we also then not saying that Julia Roberts didn't own the White Sox? How dare you, sir? She very much did.
More Cubs talk coming up next with their analyst on Marquee Network and our good friend Jim Deshaies. He will join us next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.